Hi, and welcome to AFS Beneath the Surface, the podcast of the American Fisheries Society. I'm your host, Lauren Meza. The American Fisheries Society has numerous units, and we define unit as a subgroup within AFS. The units include four geographic divisions and over 20 sections, which focus on specific subject areas of the fisheries profession. AFS also has committees, which bring together volunteers from multiple geographic locations and areas of focus within fisheries. The committees help carry out the President's plan of work and the Society's mission. Today, I am visiting with Abigail Archer, the current chair of the Membership Committee, one of the most active committees within AFS. I'm joined this morning by Abigail Archer. She is currently the chair of the AFS Membership Committee, and we're going to talk a little bit this morning about what's going on with the committee, current projects, and kind of how this all fits together with AFS in general. So good morning, Abigail. How are you?
Good morning, Lauren. Happy to be here.
Good. And tell us, first of all, where we're chatting to you from this morning and kind of a little bit about your professional background first. We'll start easy.
Sure. I am calling in from Barnstable, Massachusetts, which is out on Cape Cod.
Very cool.
And I am a fisheries and aquaculture specialist for two entities that have shared goals. So I work for Barnstable County, Cape Cod Cooperative Extension,
cool.
And that is the county for the 15 towns that make up Cape Cod. And the cooperative extension is one of 24 departments within the county, and we're sort of seen as the education department. So my colleagues are traditional extension professionals. Mm-hmm. So we've got, the master gardener division. We have an entomologist. We have nutrition staff, 4-H. So I love collaborating.
Awesome.
Yeah, I love collaborating with my colleagues in that sense. But there are three of us who focus on fisheries and aquaculture.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two fisheries and aquaculture specialists and one marine specialist. So I get to work together as a team all mm-hmm. the time, which
awesome.
I love. And then we are also funded through Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution Sea Grant, which
okay.
is a program through NOAA. And we are Sea Grant Extension agents. And on that side, there are the traditional Sea Grant staff positions. So we have our director. And then we've got communication staff. There are six extension professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have folks that focus on education and research and then program management. So I work together as a team on that side, too. So there are six of us who are half funded by the county, half funded by HUI Sea Grant.
Okay.
And so in addition to my marine program colleagues who do fisheries and aquaculture, we have folks who focus on coastal resilience, floodplain management, and coastal processes, so geology at the coastline. So it's a really dynamic
yeah.
team, and I get to work on so many different projects. And really the biggest challenge is just project management, like
right,
making
right.
sure I'm getting back to everybody that I need to on a reasonable timeline. But it's really fun work.
That sounds awesome. It's fun because I feel like we talk to a lot of freshwater inland fisheries specialists, so it's nice to kind of talk a little bit about marine stuff every once in a while.
Yes, and I have been very active with the marine salty side of things in American Fisheries Society. So I started off my AFS career as a member of the Southern New England chapter because I was a master's student at University of Massachusetts Amherst, and my advisor, Alex Harrow, has been very involved with AFS, and immediately was like, okay, you need to sign up for this. You need to go to these meetings. And then while I was there, I learned about the estuary section from
okay.
Sima Eben, who was the estuary section president at the time. And then I applied for a student travel award to
mm-hmm.
go to the annual meeting. And so then I got adopted by the estuary section because I had gotten the student travel award. So I went to their meeting and then they immediately recruited me as a secretary. And
oh,
so
sweet.
I volunteered, as secretary with the estuary section for a lot of years and then eventually worked my way up to be president in 2015. So
okay.
I'm a past president of the estuary section, still very involved there. Active member of the marine fisheries section and the bioengineering section. And then I'm a new member of the cooperative research section and the communication, science communication sections. And
How so do you it's keep track really, of all this?
Well, I don't know. It's just really cool that, you know, so I have been an AFS member since 2006.
Okay.
And so I love that there's like the old standbys of, you know, estuaries, marine, fisheries, and bioengineering that like I'm, you know, just always a part of. But then AFS members are always like innovating and seeing new needs and coming up with ways to meet them. And so I love that there are two new sections that came about. And then I get to, you know, hang out with them and learn from them too. So that's one of the reasons I love being an AFS member.
Awesome.
It is not a static society. It's always changing.
No, it's not. We change with the tides. Puns.
Yes.
Ever. Great segue, because I'm always kind of curious how people start getting involved with committees and on the section level. So how did you then go from working and being involved with the estuaries and marine sections to then being involved with the membership committee?
So partly what I was doing there is modeling the type of communication that the membership sister or the membership section would love our members to come up with their little elevator speech about how they got involved in AFS, because we want to, you know, show students or maybe undergraduates who are just coming to AFS for the first time, like an annual meeting or a local meeting. We want them to hear from current members about how they got involved and how AFS has provided them opportunities. Okay. So that's a campaign. I mean, I think a lot of people do that anyway, but we are going to try and formalize that a little bit. So membership committee, I got involved because I am an active member of the Southern New England chapter, and one of our past presidents, as he was in his past president role, said that he really wanted to work on membership recruitment for Southern New England chapter, which we affectionately refer to as SNEC, because generally we've had participation from like the same group of schools, which is wonderful, but we also wanted to do outreach to other ones. So we had a meeting, internal meeting within SNEC, and then we decided, you know, we're probably not the only chapter that has been discussing this. Probably there are some like best practices and like a toolkit of things that we could use to do this. And so I called Amanda Crudo, who at the time was the co-chair of the membership committee. And I knew her through estuary section, actually, and said, hey, Amanda, you know, can you please send me the toolkit? And she said, well, we don't have one, but that's a great idea. It's kind of things that we've been talking about already, but we don't like have it formally. And then a few months later, she called me to ask me if I wanted to be her co-chair for the next year for the membership committee, because, you know, I was already starting to think about some of the things that the membership committee was trying to work on. So, yeah, Amanda recruited me. Okay. So we were co-chairs last year. And then this year, 2023-2024 year, Leon Gua is co-chair with me.
Okay. Great. So speaking of which, so what projects are you all working on this year? What did you inherit from Amanda? And then was there anything new that was started this year?
Yep. So it's a really active committee. Mm-hmm. So folks who have been a part of it, you know, in previous years are still involved either by staying on the committee as a member or just being there as support and institutional memory. So the official charge of the membership committee is that we maintain or increase society membership, okay, recommend appropriate measures to attract new members and retain existing members. And then this is the important part. Well, it's all important. But in particular, we are supposed to monitor the attitudes of members towards the society by means of surveys, correspondence, and other avenues of communication, and then recommend programs to address membership professional needs and problems. So two committees, two versions of the committee ago, they started work on a comprehensive survey that went out to all the members. It's a huge, huge lift for, you know, AFS staff and AFS volunteers. I think just about everybody in the society got involved in some way of trying to get the word out, get as many people to take it as possible. Mm-hmm. And then it also went out to, you know, AFS staff had on a list of addresses of people who had been members in the past, but mm-hmm. were no longer, because we wanted to find out why did they not join up again. So we have these two sets of data, and Amanda Crudo is a social scientist. And so she's got the skill set to develop surveys and then analyze that data. So she has been working on that. So she transitioned out of the co-chair role, but she's still a member. And right. so she is working steadily on analyzing all those results and interpreting the results. But she provided pretty comprehensive overview actually already mm-hmm. of the summary of those results. So then the charge of the membership committee this year has been to, one, implementing past president April Croxton's plan of work was to increase communication among different AFS entities and different committees and sections. And so we've been having formal discussions with, you know, inviting other committee leadership sections mm-hmm. to come talk with us and like everybody review those results and then have a structured discussion about, okay, what do you see in this that you want to work on? What do you think are the most important parts? Mm-hmm. So far this year, we have, well, 2023-24, we've met with the International Fisheries Section, the Communications Committee, the Evaluation and Strategic Planning Committee, and then the Governing Board most recently at their latest meeting. And we have plans to coordinate with some other committees too. Overall, what we're trying to develop is a membership action plan. And, you know, it'll be a living document. But as part of the governing board activity, what we did is we took all these ideas that had been brainstormed, and then we, in different sections, thematic sections, I guess, and then we asked breakout groups within the governing board to assign those on an impact effort okay. chart. So what activities are high effort but high impact? What activities are low effort but we think are going to be high impact? Just to help us figure out what things to work on first. I think at last count, there are 50 different ideas in there. And so obviously AFS cannot work on all of them at once. And so that was an attempt to try and prioritize. Okay. But within a few months, I think we'll be able to launch. It'll still be a living document, but we will issue the draft or the membership action plan okay. that future membership committees will be in charge of keeping up to date and slowly working on all of the tasks. And not everything in there is going to be implemented by the membership committee, right. but that'll be part of the role of future membership committee is to delegate out tasks and then just keep track, you know, project management, make sure that they're happening. Sure. And if they're not happening, why? Maybe it's an idea that's not really implementable.
I'm not going to make you sum up the entire survey because I realize we could be here for about 3 hours. And I've seen parts of Amanda's presentation. There's an amazing amount of data. So yeah. what are the biggest priorities that you all have found thus far?
The whole plan we've got organized into the first section is society-wide recommendations. And so one of the things we wanted to do is work on messaging. You know, when somebody new comes to a regional meeting or the annual meeting for the first time, what are the messages about AFS that we want to make sure that they're hearing mm-hmm. in various places, either through official presentations given during the plenary sessions or just from talking to members or attending society or section meetings, just to try and formalize that. And that's actually what we're going to be talking about in our meeting this afternoon. That's what we'll be focusing on that day. Then we talked about technical and administrative issues. So what are some things that we could do to make the database of members work for us a little bit better, perhaps? And these are, you know, potentially high effort, high impact type of solution. So like changing the database is not an easy thing. No. But there were a lot of suggestions to evaluate. And I think each one of these sections could be a whole working group's job for a year is to just go through. Policy advocacy came up as something that current members really value.
Interesting.
So ways to strengthen that segment of work that AFS does. Also from the survey, people valued the current diversity, equity, inclusion, justice, and accessibility efforts. So there's a bunch of recommendations on just how to continue with that work mm-hmm. And to support it throughout the society. And then we stepped through each of the membership categories. And so there are no recommendations to change those categories, but we have a whole bunch of suggestions for how to enhance student engagement, right. how to support early career members, how to retain regular members. There are still chapter-only members who used to be called affiliate members out there. For any chapters that still have that participation type, how do we show those folks the benefits of joining up with American Fisheries Society, and then also how to increase retired member participation. Right. And then we broke it down into like employment sectors and geographic regions. So we're really clear about who our audience is in each of these sections within the membership action plan, and then trying to come up with recommendations that really target that section. So there's a big section. We've had a bunch of conversations, and Robert Musnug is our representative from the International Fisheries section to the membership committee. And he has so many ideas and has been, you know, discussing closely with his International Fisheries section colleagues. That's like a whole page of recommendation. Probably have another joint meeting with the International Fisheries section soon. Yeah. And then we also want to reach out to tribal natural resources managers to see how is AFS supporting them now, or how could it do outreach to state agency members, nonprofit organizations, and federal agency members.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I mean, that's like 10 years of projects right there.
It is. It absolutely is. And I'm really excited about that, because I feel like this could be a good draft work plan. Mm-hmm. And so many voices have been incorporated into this, because we're just constantly sharing out the draft, asking for input. Several versions of the governing board have had input into this, our AFS leadership team, staff. You know, my goal is I don't want any AFS members to be like, I didn't know about that. I would have said X, Y, Z. Like, we want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to comment on this and add some action plans into it.
Very, very cool. You mentioned policy, you mentioned diversity initiatives, the international section. Was there anything that came out of the report that was incredibly surprising or unexpected to you in terms of what is of value to AFS members?
You know, I don't think there was anything. I mean, I've been involved with AFS since 2005. So, I mean, people can always surprise you, but I feel like AFS has been pretty consistent on, you know, what we need to do. Support fisheries professionals across all segments. There's a lot of different ways that people can do fisheries work. Support students.
Right.
I'm encouraged how much attention there has been lately on early career members, because I definitely remember that transition point from being a student with all of the support and travel money and volunteer opportunities, and then nothing.
Right.
It was a pretty big transition. And so I love that we have an early career membership type.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more than surprised. I guess I was just encouraged. Okay. And I can't remember right now, maybe you can find it later, how many people actually took the survey, but it was a lot. Another thing that I love about AFS is, you know, people are active and actually respond to requests for information. So
I think that's interesting, though, you bring up the early career, because we've talked about that even on like the awards front. Like, we do a lot for students, and particularly in terms of travel support. And then we have awards that I feel like are later career kind of, you know, the Award of Excellence is kind of like a retrospective in a lot of ways. But then it's like, okay, well, what about the early career and the mid-career folks who are actually doing that work to get to the point of being recognized at the end of their career? So I think that's a very interesting point.
Yeah, and because the membership committee has representation from all of the geographic divisions, we benefit from like hearing best practices in one area or another. And then, so we want to do more work to get, you know, if there is a particular section or division or chapter that's like really zoning in on an issue, the membership committee wants to create some opportunities, maybe a webinar later in the fall, to like get some of those best practices out. So for example, the Western Division has an early career travel award.
Okay.
And so maybe that's an example that other divisions or other sections can take a look at. Yeah, we also talked about ways for maybe not just students to volunteer at a meeting to get some money off of a registration, but maybe early career folks could do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the Climate Ambassador Program is something that came up in the survey as something that folks valued, even if they didn't get a chance to participate in it, but just the fact that a program like that existed. So that's another potential recommendation, is to continue that program and then develop some similar programs where early career folks can, you know, build some, learn new skills, build some skills, but then also have a cohort of other AFS members across the entire AFS membership area. And that that could be another way potentially to support early career folks. I'd say if anybody is interested in working on AFS challenges from like a whole AFS perspective. So before this, this is the first committee I had been on that wasn't just subject matter focused or wasn't just geographic focused. Like you're actually looking at all of AFS geographically, internationally, and then all the different career paths and freshwater and saltwater and estuarine. And it's a little daunting. It takes a lot of work, but I feel like we're doing good work and we are making progress, and it's really gratifying. So I would encourage anyone who's considering taking on a different role within the AFS and your volunteer professional life, it's pretty cool to make the jump to a wider perspective than just your subject matter or just your geographic area.
So if somebody was interested in joining the membership committee, I mean, a couple of questions related to that. First, are you all looking for additional volunteers? And then how would somebody join, and what is the time commitment and level of involvement that's needed?
Yeah. So folks, anybody who's interested in working on membership could join us anytime. But one of the things we're going to discuss as a best practice is to have membership coordinators at each of the all of the units, really. So at the section level, at the chapter level, at the division level. Okay. And so if that is something that there's going to be a need for a bunch of people to play that role, some units already have that, but we think it would be useful for membership recruitment and retention to have some folks in each unit that are really focused on that. And then also, if you're interested, the way we are structured is that we have a representative from each of the divisions, the education section, and then the student subsection to that. We always have representation from and any of the other AFS-wide committees. We have spots for them too. So, but yeah, if any of that sounds interesting, I would say either contact me or contact Kelly, who is the AFS staff member, who is the membership coordinator, and then she could provide some suggestions on how to plug in various efforts. And then one of our recommendations is to create a task force of early career members, definitely with participation already from, you know, from the student subsection, but to really delve into some of these ideas about how to support early career members. So that's going to be something that we'll be recruiting for soon. So that's another volunteer opportunity.
That's super exciting. I feel like that's kind of a good question that particularly students or early career folks have, is how do I make that jump and get involved? And like you all are definitely looking to welcome anyone who's willing to put in the time, the effort, and the attention that, you know, you all are looking for. And
yeah, we meet monthly, and there's generally, I'd say, maybe about 30 to 60 minutes of homework, put that in quotation marks, in between meetings. It's definitely an active committee, so we definitely ask our members to, you know, take on some small tasks in between. But I think it works well when we have diverse set of members representing different types of experiences. Okay. And so it's great. Like, one of my takeaways from this is that the chapters are really different from each other, just in terms of how they organize their meetings and how often they meet and what opportunities they have for students. And so that's one of the other things that has been a rewarding experience for me on the membership committee, is just to hear about all the different ways that we approach things. So yeah, anybody who volunteered would bring their particular experience of AFS, and that would just add to the chorus of voices to just make the membership action plan stronger and more interesting ideas.
Is there anything else that you think AFS members or others listening should know about the membership committee that you think they would not necessarily think about? What else have I missed that you think people should know about the membership committee?
The work of the membership committee is an interesting challenge, because at the same time, we are trying to keep existing members happy.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are ways to make sure that that is happening so that they continue to be AFS members? And so AFS continues to serve them and their career needs. But then also look out broader, say, okay, who should become an AFS member? Or who are we not talking to that we should? So it's this dual focus.
Yeah.
And it's a challenge, but it's a really fun challenge.
That's very good to hear. That's a very good question, because I know that's something we talk about at the staff level, is how do you balance between recruiting more members versus keeping the programming interesting and current that is going to continue to provide value to the current members as well. I'm glad that as a committee, you all understand that as well. That's very encouraging to hear.
I'm just speaking as one member of the membership committee now, and I'm not speaking for the whole committee. But I personally think it's the strength of the people-to-people interactions that both keeps our current members engaged and fulfilled and, like, you know, give them the sense that they are supporting their career-level peers, but then also the next generation. I got recruited into AFS because my advisor said, you need to do this. I mean, I didn't know AFS existed. So there's one person-to-person contact. And then when I got to Southern New England chapter, I don't remember their names anymore, but people smiled at me, hello and welcome. And then Sima Evan from the estuary section was involved at both a society-wide section level and then also the local geographic Southern New England chapter. She announced a student opportunity. I took advantage of it. And then when I got to the estuary section business meeting at my first annual meeting, people were friendly to me and said hello and said welcome. So I think we can accomplish both things by working on some messaging, hearing from people who already do a great job of telling their students, you need to be part of AFS, and then having them help us work on some messaging. And then just a little bit of help on what are things, just at a basic human-to-human level, how do we make our chapter-level meetings as inclusive as possible? And really spend some time thinking about that. You know, what are the things that we're doing right already? What are the things that we might not be doing that we could be doing better?
Yeah.
Because I think it's the person-to-person interactions that drive all of that.
Even with more meetings going online and whatnot, that's just not something you can find when you're meeting somebody on their computer. So yeah, that's always good to hear. Before I let you go, just have a couple of fun questions. Favorite AFS meeting and why?
Ooh, that is such a good question. I think the Seattle meeting, which was 2015, maybe, because I had graduated from UMass Amherst and I was, you know, missing my grad student buddies.
Okay.
And that was fantastic because a lot of folks from UMass Amherst were together at that meeting and folks that I knew from Southern New England chapter. So who are from University of Rhode Island, University of Connecticut. And so it was a great mini reunion of the folks that I'd been spending a lot of time with for a lot of years.
Awesome. And if you weren't currently in New England on Cape Cod, where is your ideal dream work location for fisheries work?
I'm living it. I love my job. I love being on Cape Cod. I don't ever want to live any other place. I enjoy visiting other places, but I am where it's at.
Okay. That's easy enough. I like that. Okay, Abigail, I will let you go because, like you said, you've got another AFS commitment with the membership committee in a couple hours. Thank you so much. Any parting words before I let you go?
Thank you for doing this podcast. I think it's a great idea, and I look forward to listening to the other interviews with the other AFS members.
Well, thank you so much. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Lauren.
And now, AFS on the clock. Updates in 60 seconds or less. The AFS election closed at the end of April, and we are excited to announce that Marlis Douglas will be joining the officer team starting in September as the incoming second vice president. Marlis will serve the society as the AFS president in 2027-2028. As a reminder, registration for the Honolulu annual meeting is now open. along with registration for continuing education courses. You can find the most up-to-date schedule and other related information about the conference at afsannualmeeting.fisheries.org. Thank you for listening to this episode of AFS Beneath the Surface. Our goal with this podcast has been to give you a behind-the-scenes, or underwater, look at AFS. If you have ideas for future episodes, please send these along. My email is included in the description for this episode. If you liked this interview, please share our podcast with your fisheries colleagues and friends. We look forward to bringing you more conversations with AFS leadership, volunteers, and staff during future episodes. Thanks again for listening and have a great weekend. And we'll see you next time beneath the surface.